This is Biz. I'm a part-time working mom with a big kid and a little kid.
And I'm Teresa. I have a family business, two young kids, and a baby.
This is a show about life after giving life. Don't listen with your kids, because there will be swears. This is One Bad Mother. This week on One Bad Mother, I'm a monster. Plus, Biz lays down tracks, Teresa hits the open road, and we talk to Nefertiti Austin about single-parent adoption and the need for more voices from people of color in parenting books.
Woo!
Hi, Teresa!
Hi, Biz.
You're missing something.
What?
Is it rest?
Oh, shit. What? I don't have my baby.
Where's your baby?
My baby is not here. He's elsewhere.
What? Oh, my God. Nick, bring us the one.
I know. We really should be. We should be having, like, bourbon.
We should be having
bourbon.
We should
bourbon just be going
at 10:30 in the morning in the period hut.
Yeah.
That's how the ancients used to deal in the period hut, right?
I know.
It was just bourbon.
Exactly.
The ancients.
It helps.
It does help for teething. For mamas.
Periods.
For dads. For periods. For no sleep. For whatever ails ya. The one bad mother. Lickety pick me up. no guarantees. Before I ask you how you are.
Yeah.
I'm going to put something before you this week.
Tell me some stuff.
I'm going to tell you some stuff. Because it's good stuff. And we want to share it right off the top of the show. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of this. But our book came out this week.
Seriously.
Like, it's out.
For real.
For real out.
We're published authors.
You can see it in the wild.
Yeah.
You can,
go around and look for it.
Look
Try
for
to
it.
Spot someone reading it on the subway.
That's right. Stand awkwardly by someone and say, yeah, what are you considering? This is pretty funny.
This book what is, you, I liked this book.
You're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Do you have time to read a book? This is designed to make it easy for you to read one.
Yeah. Hey, do you know what won't make you feel like shit?
This book. Hey, check it out. That's very exciting.
Yeah.
We're doing a whole week of the hashtag winning at parenting. Tweet out to somebody or Facebook out at somebody or talk face-to-face to somebody. Tell a parent that they're winning at parenting, okay? And let them know why they are. In honor of the book coming out.
And guys, just in case you missed it, it's called You're Doing a Great Job, 100 Ways You're Winning at Parenting by Biz Ellis and Teresa Thorne.
Hosts of One Bad Mother. You guys, so go out, find the book.
Yeah.
Have a good time.
Find it. Enjoy it. Tell other parents that they're doing a great job and that they're winning at parenting.
Perhaps there's a holiday coming up where it's appropriate.
If you're not sure that you're winning at parenting, you can look in the book and see a bunch of stuff that we know you guys are already doing.
Yes.
And that will remind you how much you're actually winning at parenting, even if you think you're not.
All right. Also, we are having a big event in San Francisco. We're doing a live show, guys.
Yep.
April 29th, live show at The Independent in San Francisco. You can get your tickets online at theindependentsf.com. Glenn Washington of Snap Judgment is going to be joining us. Guys, it's going to be a really good time. So look, this is moms need a night out, dads need a night out, people who want to understand parenting better might need a night out.
Yep.
So come on and celebrate with us. 8:00. We'll also have books available. We'll be doing a signing. We'll be hanging out. It is going to be a good time. Live Genius and Fails. I just don't think there could be a better way to spend a Saturday night. Call up your babysitters and your grandparents.
I'm so excited.
And join us.
Do it.
Teresa.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm so good.
We've entered the delusional phase, guys. I mean, that's great to hear.
I know.
I'm glad.
You're not.
I am glad.
Okay.
I am glad to hear this because are we?
Yeah, we're definitely. Biz is doing the arm roller coaster movement at me with the questioning look on her face. Like, is this correct?
Is this correct?
Applicable here?
Yeah.
yes, we're definitely in that. I mean, I have a 10-week-old baby, guys, and a 3.5-year-old and a 5.5-year-old. I mean, I'm definitely deluded that I think things are great. But I'm really happy because we went away last week. It was Grace's spring break. It was our chance to get away. We were in the mountains. We had no internet.
Yeah.
We weren't able to work.
That's amazing.
We were not able to communicate with the world at large.
And, communicate with the wild and nature.
Yes. That's amazing. It was crazy. It was so actually genuinely restorative. Ugh. And I think it's weird, too, because you guys know how it is to travel with kids and vacation with kids. And there's a lot of things that are not actually relaxing.
Yeah. No.
I mean, there's a lot of things about going on vacation that are actually way harder and way more exhausting. But something about the ages of my kids or where we were, what the folks we were with, just was the perfect storm of goodness and calm and we got over the hump of the drive, which was the big thing that I was kind of in advance. I was like, how is this going to work driving 4 hours?
Yeah.
Each way with three kids in the car, including a newborn. I don't know how he's going to do on the drive. Is he going to cry the whole time?
Yeah,
is he
let's all remember, Ellis just screamed.
Yeah. Lots
we
of kids.
Couldn't even get an hour and a half to Stefan's parents' house without stopping three times because the car was not his friend.
Yeah,
right?
No.
After that, we were just we're never coming to see you guys again.
Right.
Until, he's two.
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
So, yeah, it's unpredictable. You don't know.
And Oscar, Oscar wasn't necessarily like that, but he did used to cry in the car at least half the time.
Yeah.
There was lots of crying in the car. And even when Grace was a baby, she cried in the car sometimes.
So,
I'm not taking this for granted at all. The fact that it went well.
You should do it again next weekend.
maybe not. But, I'm really, I feel so grateful.
Oh, that's good.
That it worked out.
I'm so glad.
Yes.
Good job.
Thank
doing
you.
That. Because that's a big undertaking.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm so glad that the result was something restorative and good.
Yes.
That's so good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How are you?
I'm all right. I'm tired, guys. I'm tired. Ellis's need for me. I've mentioned that he's going through a very mama-only phase.
Mm.
And it is a deeply intense one, so much so that it clearly extends throughout the night. It's been 3 weeks of the wake-ups throughout the night that only mama can, and he was yelling for me in his sleep. I mean, it's just a whole, he's just going through a thing, and
totally.
I'm there, but it's a little like being held hostage all the time.
Yeah.
But while simultaneously being filled with sweet, loving snuggle moments. It's great.
Okay. Well, you're doing a really good job.
Thank you. So I'm very tired, and lots of other stuff is happening.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's a lot.
It's a little crazy right now.
It's a little crazy.
Right?
I described it as I'm wearing a lot of hats right now.
Yeah.
A lot of hats.
Yeah. To cover up the fact that you haven't showered.
That I have a shower. Yes. Many hats. So the whole point of this is sometimes Sundays can feel like they last an eternity.
Mm.
And I had a thing that I had bought on Amazon, secret stashed away for We're All Out of Ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the tape that looks like a road. Now, I have often fantasized about buying the tape that looks like a road.
Mm.
It's got a line down the middle. It's like painter's tape, but it looks like asphalt with like a road.
That sounds fun.
It turns out it was fun.
Okay.
And I was smart enough to remember to buy some corner pieces, tape. It wasn't that expensive. And I busted it out. And now, of course, I've got a whole freeway running through my den.
Yeah.
And that's going to wear out easy for me. But both kids were on their hands and knees, busted out the cars. Ellis, for some reason, is named it Paradise City.
Aww.
Come on down to Paradise City.
Aww.
And where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. Yeah. So Paradise City is set up. I don't know. It was just it was one of those things. Technically, it should be a genius, but at the same time, it was. But at the same time, it just felt like a general win for the weekend.
Yeah.
And
that's
it just was that's a good thing.
Hey, Biz, you're winning at parenting.
I'm winning at parenting.
Look at you.
Look at me. I threw money at it. Anyway, so that's good. It's nice when we can fulfill the needs of our children and do so without crushing anything deep inside ourselves that we find distasteful or don't want to do, which can be very different than other aspects of parenting in which we sometimes feel like we're a monster.
please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Biz and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
Teresa.
Yes.
Are you a monster?
I am.
I am too. I have to say, this idea came from the private group. There was a poster on the One Bad Mother private Facebook community who said that she hates Disney. And as a result, she's never shown her kids a Disney movie. Uh-huh. And she's a monster.
Right.
For it. Yeah. And I just thought this was so funny. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I was just thinking about this, about something that I feel makes me a monster. Let's see where this goes. And I feel like there's two divisions in the monster community. There's One Bad Monster. Bah, bah, bah. There's the monster that you think you are.
Right.
The things that you do that you're like, huh, I'm a monster. Yeah. I've ruined my child.
I feel really bad about this.
This is like, it's not like the same as like bad parenting guilt. It's more should I be doing this?
Yeah.
Should I have done this? Am I a monster for not doing this?
Yeah.
And then there's the monster that our children see us as.
Right.
Because we're not, usually not letting them do something they want to do.
Right.
So off the bat, the first thing that I had been wrestling with before I saw her talking about this was, I have never, it's Easter right now, it's the Easter time of year, was this weekend. I have never taken my children to get a picture taken with Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. Or any holiday related picture opportunity.
Yeah.
I've never taken them. And like every
there's
no particular
reason. Okay, so you're not like taking a stand against
it. I'm not taking a stand against mall Santas.
Like
I just usually it's like somewhere 3 months beforehand I think, huh, I guess we should do that.
Yeah.
And then the next time I think about it, it's like 2 days before the holiday.
Right.
And that's gonna be a nightmare. And then I think, is this, who am I doing this for?
Yeah, who's this
for? Should I?
Yeah.
Am I I feel like I'm just like not doing a parenting thing that I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And I feel, I'm like, and now it almost feels too late. Like it definitely feels too late for Katie Bell.
I mean,
she's like seven.
Right.
And she's
the first time she meets Santa is going to be.
Watch at this point. Yeah. Here's the Easter Bunny.
Right.
Oh, is it? Right. Like, you know, and while Ellis, I don't know if he'd even want to go sit in anybody's lap.
I feel
for
like
a
he would
picture.
Not be into that.
I feel like he'd be like, not into it.
Yeah.
But I also realized that I've just never given them the option. Stefan's never asked. We just never,
and
it's
they
just never,
never
occurred to us to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that.
Yeah.
So I am a monster.
Yeah, you're a monster.
For not having any of these types of pictures. I have more, but I want to hear yours.
Mine is totally worse.
Oh, God. Okay. Maybe I can beat it.
Okay. So here's this one. So, this past week while we were up in the mountains, we were up there with some friends at one point. And I was upstairs getting Grace and Oscar dressed, like, for the day, like, getting them ready. And as I was staying up there, finishing getting Oscar ready, and Grace had already gotten herself dressed and she was going back downstairs, I heard the other mom who we were up there with say to Grace, "Oh, that was fast. You're all dressed. Did you already brush your teeth?" And do you know what Grace said?
What?
"We don't brush our teeth in the morning."
Whoa! You're a monster!
And I was like, I was listening to this, and like, I already knew I was a monster for not making my kids brush their teeth in the morning. And it's already like, it's already been something that has like deeply weighed on me that like, I feel like I need to get in the habit of getting them to brush their teeth in the morning. It was like, wasn't a thing that my parents did with us when we were kids. And so for whatever reason, like, we always do it at night and it's like a part of the nighttime routine. But for whatever reason in the morning,
just
like, there's
became.
Just other stuff.
Yeah.
And like, it just, so we just, like, there have been a few times where we have, but like, it's not a regular thing that my kids know they're expected
to do. It's Easter, we're brushing your teeth today.
Right, exactly. And like, I already feel terrible about this. And so it was so funny, too, because I hear Grace say that, you know, to our friend.
You could just hear her.
And I'm upstairs, and she goes, what? Like that. And then Grace just like, yeah. And then they just, she just doesn't say anything about it. And that's the end of that. And I like thought about like later, do I like say something about this? Like, do I need to like acknowledge? And then I was like, no, I mean, there's nothing really to say. I mean, Grace
was right. Not gonna change anything.
Grace was right. We don't really do that. We need, like, we've talked about like, we should be doing that. There was even like a day where we were like, let's set something out to like remind ourselves tomorrow that we're gonna like brush our teeth. But like, we just haven't got, so anyways, I am a true monster for that,
You are a true monster.
Yep.
And of course, the real monster is Stephen Lawrence, who doesn't let us have sugar cereal in the house.
Oh, definitely.
Because we all want it.
Yep.
And I could actually do a whole episode on how these days I'm so tired, I just cruise the sugar cereal out sometimes being like, what if I just brought it home? Would we divorce?
You could hide it somewhere.
Well, I could, yeah, I could do that.
And then you and the kids could have your like secret place where you go.
We could become closet eaters. That's great. Like literally where we sit in the closet and eat oops, all berries.
Yep.
Oops. So I think the other category is what are we doing that our children hate? And I think about you overhearing Grace say the thing about the toothbrushing.
Yeah.
And the mom being like, and I think some of what we're about to talk about, there is this element of while you're being a monster, you have to also be good that you're not, because your brain goes to judge. Like this,
your
thought was, how is this woman judging me for this?
Yeah.
And should I go make up for it and explain? Like, whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe the mom was just flat out like, what the fuck?
Yeah, she definitely was.
Or she was like,
she works
that's
in the
such a good
field.
Idea. Oh, yeah. But like, there's no, a lot of the monster stuff, I think, with our kids is where we just have house rules or judge thing, I mean, or like house rules where other parents don't, or they've got house rules that we judge.
Sure. And like half an hour
hard.
Of television.
Right. Yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah. Like just weird things. Yeah.
And Katie Bell has reached an age where now she's really going over to people's houses.
Oh,
and she's
been
exposed to the other styles of parenting. And so I'm currently, I'm not full blown monster, but we're getting there.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like her friend has a TV in her room and her friend also gets to have iPad in the car, like even on the smallest of trips, right? Just whatever, like that, you know, and, but we don't do that.
Right.
Not, you get in the car after school. That's not what we're doing. That's just not how we do it. Yeah. And you're definitely not having a TV in your room and we're monsters for doing that. But it
according
is,
to her.
According to her.
Yeah.
But there's also this added responsibility of not being like, well, why we don't do it. Is X, Y, and Z that then doesn't set her up to be like, hey, my parents
mom said,
don't do it because we're better than you.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
not
the case.
Like, you almost have to just embrace the monster. Like, you're just like,
we don't do that.
We're awful.
We are awful. Yeah,
such a hard
I do think
life.
So. I think that's true. I think you have to be like, we're just horrible people who want to keep you from all forms of fun.
I know. We suck.
We suck, right? Here's some crayons and some paper. Draw it out. So that's our current thing is the lack of technology in her life where, guys, trust me. She's got so much technology in her life.
Right.
You know, anyway. So there's that. What about you? What do
you? So the big one, I think, for me with Grace is that anytime it's time to give something away or throw something away, like getting rid of anything, I am really a monster. Like, how dare? I mean, it's just, and it's anything. Like, even yesterday, it was just the two of us at home and the baby was napping and Grace and I were like cleaning. It was like, we're cleaning right now. Jesse and Oscar had gone to do the grocery shopping.
Right.
So we're doing the cleaning and I'm literally just walking around with a giant trash bag. I am because it had gotten to that point. And so I'm like just throwing stuff away. And like partway through the cleaning, she goes, are you throwing stuff away? Like it dawns on her, like, are you, is that trash bag like for trash? And I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm throwing stuff away.
And you're old enough for the harsh realities of life now, Grace.
It.
Come on.
And I mean, I was throwing away one toy and all the rest of it was just papers, like scrap papers with doodles and little things, like just old homework papers and just stupid
the
stuff.
Homework papers.
And it's, she literally says, that's my favorite to each thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awe-inspiring. Like, she and she's so hurt that I would want to get rid of any
You're
of this
You're a monster.
Stuff. Yeah. I am truly
You're
a monster.
Truly a monster.
I don't know what to say about it, Grace. I guess I'm a monster.
Also, we're definitely monsters. Another thing I think like we're monsters about is we never let... Stefan is so loyal to the Star Wars franchise, with the exception of the three prequels that came out. And Katie Bell's never seen them. Because he will not let them be played in the house.
They don't count.
They don't count.
They don't exist as far as he's concerned.
All of her friends have seen it.
Oh.
Right? They've all seen...
It's so weird to me that anyone would choose...
I know. Welcome to it.
Anyway,
it's so fast how it comes on.
Yeah, okay.
Then, like, all it takes is some kid, a friend of Grace's, who also has an older sibling.
Right.
And then that kid has seen everything.
Right, yeah.
Right? Ellis will have seen everything.
Right.
By the time he's seven.
That makes sense.
He'll be the kid who's like, Guardians of the Galaxy is the best movie ever. Okay, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Right? Like...
Yeah,
it is. It's fine. I'm like, can they be old enough to watch this with me? So she has recently come home a lot and been like, why can't I watch these movies? And, there's no legitimate reason other than we fucking hate them.
Yeah, they're bad in
That's
my
like
opinion.
Stefan, Stefan Walt, like, he's like, they're horrible movies and you don't need to know them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can... No.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-uh. Yeah.
And then all the other kids, they get confused. Why aren't you showing... Katie Bell, these movies.
Yeah.
And I've seen Stefan say to like 7 and 8 year olds, because they're bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just monsters.
I love it.
Monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a lot of like, do you have other things that make you a monster?
Yeah. I mean, like, well, thinking about Jesse, like the things that make him a monster, I feel so bad. It's just like that he doesn't like serve the kids food the way I do.
Oh,
so he's a monster.
He's a monster.
You know, like, or he'll serve, you know, water with dinner instead of milk.
Right.
And the kids are horrified.
Horrified.
Yeah, I didn't want this.
Why would you do this?
Yeah. Yeah.
This makes me think of the, like, the conversation I'm having with the kids right now is like, we'll be somewhere and they have like a lemonade or something. And I'll be like, oh, can I have a sip of that?
Yeah.
And Katie Bell, with such hesitation, will hand me the lemonade. And then the look of like sheer panic as it goes to my lips.
Yeah.
And like you could see the anxiety
She's
that
so
I'm
afraid
gonna
you're gonna drink
it
all. Yeah.
And I finally have started saying, have I, stop it. Have I ever taken something from you and been like, oh, delicious.
Yeah.
And I drank it all.
And
I got to eat all your ice cream, drink all your lemonade, or eat all your, have I ever done this? She's like, no. And I'm like, then why are you treating me like a monster? Like I'm going to eat this and drink this from you. I am not a monster.
It's
I love
so
you.
True.
I love you.
I just want a sip.
I want a sip.
Yeah.
I give you everything.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and then like, and for poor Ellis, because he's like three.
Yeah.
Everything I do, is it Tuesday? I'm a fucking monster.
Right.
Did I turn the water on with my right hand and not my left hand?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then did I not make us go all the way back to bed and start the entire day over and go through the whole pot? Monster. Why would you do that? Like a walking, but they do. They see you doing these things and you're like, I've never harmed you.
Yeah.
I've never like locked you in a closet. It's just like that look on their face as if I've taken something from them. And those are actually the worst moments for me because I'm like, I am like, where have I led you to think?
Sure.
Besides the Star Wars and no sugar cereal and no television in your room.
Yeah.
Besides those horrible things I do. Like, why do you see me as that?
I know. I don't know if this is like exactly the same thing, but it's a similar thing where like the grasping of like the importance of things and the bigness of things is like not quite organized yet for them. Like Grace really wants a little sister. So she really wants me to just keep having babies until she can have, like, she just wants a little sister and she doesn't, like, it's not that she thinks I'm a monster, but she's a little bit like, well, but I really want one.
But
like,
I really
want a sister. Like, why won't you?
Why can't you do that?
Just
for
make
me?
That happen.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit like, okay.
Yeah.
How do you not see how much work this is? Like, you've literally witnessed this like beginning to end
twice.
Like, twice. Yeah, all the way through.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. There's like that moment where like, I don't even know how to explain this to you anymore. Cause this isn't about just like we fucking hate the prequels. There are other times where they see some action that you're doing or action that you're not doing. And it's just too much. They cannot.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can say to make it any better other than boo. One Bad Mother is supported in part by Care.com. the easy and reliable way to find care for everyone in the family when and where you need it.
Biz and I both have premium memberships, which are awesome. You can check it out online. For me, when I type in my zip code, there are just tons of caregivers right near my home. They give me all the tools that I need for background checks, reference checks, qualifications, and certifications.
Here's the bonus. You don't have to just use them for babysitters. You can also find housekeepers, dog walkers, tutors, errand runners, and senior care, which is a big deal.
So save 30% off a care.com premium membership and receive a $15 credit that you can use toward paying your caregiver when you use care.com's convenient payment platform. Just visit care.com/badmother when you subscribe. Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Genius fail time, Teresa. Genius me.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh, my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
Well, I realized that I was revolving my entire week around figuring out how to get fresh coffee beans. And then I remembered I could just renew my coffee bean subscription service.
Nice.
Which is fantastic and delicious. And it comes to my house now every week.
Oh.
And I don't run out of coffee. It's great.
You're a genius.
Thank you.
Winning at parenting.
Thank you.
That's amazing. This is kind of a simple one. I've been really carving out walking time and like committing to it.
Nice.
3 to 4 times a week.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's definitely I'm giving up lots of other things to make this happen.
Good.
And it's not like I'm any nicer to the kids or the family. Like, none of that's like work. But there is a sense of feeling better versus before I was doing this, where I wasn't feeling better about stuff, like about myself, right? Like, it just was like, you know, again, any stress or issues I was having about myself or whatever, nothing's fixed. I just feel a little better doing this.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's enough.
That was enough. That was enough.
That's great.
Hi, One Bed Mother. I'm calling with a genius, and I thought I'd call because I was just listening to one of your older episodes that had a genius from a woman who threw out all her socks and got all white ones so that she didn't have to match anything, that they would all match already. And I just wanted to share my sock genius. I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. I'm 37 weeks pregnant, so I don't feel like matching socks either. I called a couple times with some sadder rants. But my genius is that I have a little tote at the bottom of my stairs, right in front of the front door. There's 3 of them, actually. There's one for my 5-year-old, one for my 3-year-old, and those 2 each have their shoes in them. And then the 3rd tote has just socks. And I don't match the socks. They're all different colors, all different sizes. I don't care. I've just given up on matching. And the girls, they don't care if they match. So they pick out their own socks every day, and they don't match. Sometimes they do, but usually they don't. And then they pick out their own shoes. And then it stops me having to argue with them over putting on socks and shoes. I just say, hey, go pick out some socks and shoes, and they do it. And there's no argument, usually. So that's my genius. Thanks.
This
yes,
is so
that's genius.
Good.
Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah, there's the genius of letting go.
Yeah.
Of the matching,
yeah.
Of like what that means, the monster that you are. By sending your children out into the world with non-matching socks.
Yep.
As well as the, like, anytime you can cut out the potential argument, that is the most important thing.
It really is.
Yep. Like, anytime you can do that, it's a game changer for the day.
Plus, you're eliminating the, like, where's that other shoe? Like, you're looking for things, you know, around the house because they're just always there.
They're always in the bin.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really genius.
Yeah, it's great.
Good job. Failures.
Fail, 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 fail!
You suck.
Fail me, Teresa.
Okay, I'm going to talk about Easter baskets. So depending on who you're listening with, if you want to skip ahead a few seconds, do that now. So we were away for a week, and when we came home, it was the Saturday night before Easter Sunday morning.
Whoa.
And we got home kind of late, and the kids were crazy, and we were tired, and we were unloading. And I realized, you know, as Jesse's getting the kids into bed, and I'm sitting there feeding the baby, and we've made it through this epic journey,
oh my God,
that there's nothing.
There's
nothing in the house.
Yeah.
I had, like, leftover little bags from the year before and the year before that we'd used, like, 2 years in a row, and I just had them. So that was good. I had something to put them in. But we didn't have, like, plastic eggs. We had, like, I think we had, like, 3 plastic eggs, which is not super helpful when you have 2 kids.
Yeah.
Because, like, you basically have 1 egg for each kid. And I had to, like, parse together just junk that we had in our house like create a nice little Easter basket. I had some like stickers that I had saved for birthday presents. And I just I had Jesse help me like put some things together. And like the worst part about this is that my wonderful mother-in-law sends Easter candy for them every year. And it's always kind of like extra bonus candy because I really like doing the Easter baskets when I think of it in advance. But this year we could have really used it, but we had asked her to send it to the office because we didn't want it around the house. So we didn't have it at home when we came home, and we were so tired.
Oh,
like it was so late. Nobody's going to go back out and like go, you know, find it. So it was just, it was like a double fail
because
I could have been saved from my fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Monster.
Yep, monster.
Oh, God, that's, like, I felt all of that realization with you.
Yeah,
that is
sucked.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, thanks.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm a little tired, a lot of hats. This is actually a repeat fail, but it's worth repeating because it's so pathetic.
Okay.
And it's, in just, like, the last week, I have, like, on multiple occasions now done the thing where I stick my hand in the water dispenser out of the fridge. You know, you put your cup in and you push it in and water comes out. But I'm just doing it with my hand. And I've done it a lot. Like, the other day, I was sitting with my friend and Ellis walks up and is like, can I have water? And I'm like, sure. And I my body just sticks my hand and, like, it fills my hand up with water. And, like, water goes everywhere. And it doesn't stop pouring. And again, every time it takes a second to realize I'm doing it. And I'm like,
the cold water wakes you up.
My friend just looked at me like, wow.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not the first time. It's not even like I'm doing the ice.
Right?
Like where I'm like,
where you
oh, that's reasonable.
It.
You catch it, you put it in the cup or the water bottle. This is just me randomly doing this when I think I need water.
Uh-huh.
And that's a thing. Doesn't make me feel like a successful person.
Hi, this is Teresa. I'm calling with a fail. I had stepped out of the room for like a couple minutes to pee, and my son, who's 8 and is autistic and has ADHD, decided he was going to do a science experiment. And so in the time it took me to pee, he ended up spreading 5 pounds of flour all through the kitchen and the dining room and the playroom and the family room because he wanted to see what happens when you take flour and mix it with water. And so I kind of cleaned that all up and let it dry so that I could try and scrape it up off the floors because we have all hardwood floors. And so I was trying to deal with that in the 8, 7 and 6-year-olds are at school, and so I put the 5-year-old and the 1-year-old at the table. I gave the 1-year-old some cereal, made the 5-year-old color, and I was trying to get all of this dried crap off the ground, and I turned around and saw that my 1-year-old was flushing red and starting to swell. And so we just got back from the ER, and I found out that she's allergic to cinnamon. So, you know, that's good to know. And now I still have to try and get all of this dried flour crap off of walls and cabinets and the stove and the floors and the back door. And
This could be a rant. I don't even know, but I think it's a fail because everything is just utterly failing all at once. And I know that I'm just going to mom up and I'm just going to deal with it and everything will be fine in the end and I'll be able to laugh someday, but right now I just want to cry. But, you know, at least my 8-year-old is wanting to do science experiments. That's a good thing, right? You guys are doing a great job and I'm sure you're doing a lot better than I am right now, but yeah. All right, you guys have a great day. Bye.
Hey,
That's bad.
And the line that I feel like everything is failing around me, that in itself, I know that sensation of it's like the scene when the spaceship is self-destructing, like in everything, and you're just trying to get across the ship,
right?
And like springs are coming out, flames are coming up, people are like dying next to you. Like it's just like everything's failing all at once. And 5 pounds of flour, guys, is a lot of flour.
It is a lot of flour.
Everybody needs to just take a moment and think about why this woman would let flour be in her house. Yeah. That is the real failure. Why would you bring flour into your house? That is you're a monster for having flour.
Yeah, well, there's nothing quite like an emergency happening in the middle of like cleaning up a huge surprising mess. Like that's just like emergencies on top of emergencies.
That's right. I will say it, for a split second I thought, well, at least you don't have carpet.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Right. That's a win.
True. Yeah.
That's a win. Well, I'm sorry that you bought flour. And that you've raised children to
have an
interest
in
science.
Oh, and that you had to pee. That's the real failure. We can trace all of this back to you actually leaving the room to pee.
Come on, kids. You're in the bathroom with me until you're 32.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you. I love you. When I have a problem, call you on the phone. I love you. I love you.
One Bad Mother is supported in part by Blue Apron.
Blue Apron sends you food, guys.
Yeah.
With recipes. Yeah. And it's the right amount, and it's very easy to do. And then you're winning at parenting because you gave people who live in your house things to eat that are healthy.
For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals.
So check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/badmother. That's blueapron.com/badmother.
Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Teresa.
Yes.
Let's call a parent.
Great.
This week, we are calling Nefertiti Austin, an established fiction writer, now essayist, and advocate for adoptive and foster youth. Her writing can be seen in The Establishment, Mother Magazine, Huffington Post, Essence, and ModernMia.com, and includes such recent pieces as Adoptions, Hashtag Parenting So White Problems, Why I Decided to Adopt Without a Partner, and Why We Need More Black Parenting Stories. Welcome, Nefertiti.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Many listeners of the show heard your name mentioned by a previous guest and heard me be like, I'm going to find you, Nefertiti, and get you on the show.
Very cool.
Yeah. We were we had the New York Times Public Library recommendations person on the show to co-host while Teresa was out. And she was like, hey, what do you want me to find? And I said, I have a challenge for you. I can't seem to find any books or, you know, pieces by people of color on parenting outside of these, like, three. Can you go find them? And she wrote back a week later and was like, no, in fact, I can't. And so she actually, but she found your piece. And then, anyway, that started a whole conversation. We're sidetracking, but I'm excited that you're here with us. But let's get started with what we ask all of our guests, which is, who lives in your house?
Well, in my house, I have a 10-year-old son and a 4-year-old daughter and me.
And you. That's
yes.
10. How's 10? How's it going? How's 10 working out? I've got a 7-year-old. I see visions on the playground. How's 10?
Yeah, 10 is rough. He's like on the end of the whole baby sort of thing and slowly becoming a tween. So he alternates between mom and tears. So I never know where we are emotionally, and it drives me crazy.
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah, he's a good boy. He's a sweet kid, but my goodness. Yes, 10's rough.
Yeah, I think that's the word we use in our house, too. Oh, we have really good kids, but that is, like, so paired with all their developmental stuff, which is just so much.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so much, and it's tiring. Well, let's one of the things we like to do on the show is just talk about experiences of other parents, because we do share a lot, like the lack of sleep and worry and guilt and breakfast for dinners, all those kind of good things. But we also have experiences that are completely unique to us and only some of us. And given how isolating parenting can be, it helps to not feel alone. And just and it really helps when we can hear somebody talking and go, oh, hey, I'm not the only person who's doing that.
Right.
That's really great.
Right.
And that last comment is what I see the most following your pieces, any of the pieces that you write. I see so many of these comments of parents being like, oh, my God, I'm so glad to know. Thank you for sharing, because I thought I was the only person. So let's first just start with the fact that you decided to adopt as a, oh, my God, a single parent. What does that even mean? It's, it can't be possible. And this is a big thing for people to relate to. So tell us about your decision and, just about that experience.
Okay. Well, my best friend is adopted, and she is an adoption social worker. So I had been hearing about all these children over the years and things and parents and stuff. So I think that's just been in the back of my mind. And my brother and I were raised by our grandparents, and which was a really positive experience. And I don't think I had language for feeling adopted until I adopted. And I had just been the, quintessential free spirit, just moving every year and just pick my dogs up and we'd move, have a job, quit a job, jump on a plane, go somewhere, having just the time of my life. And then I don't know, something came over me in 06 and I decided that I wanted to be a mother and I wanted to adopt. And I think one of my concerns or fears was that if I don't do it, then I may marry someone who doesn't want to adopt and I'll miss this opportunity.
Mm.
And so that was very important to me that I adopted, and I wanted a boy. I wanted a black boy because I knew that they were, less likely to be adopted. Everyone wants a cute little girl, and a little girl's a terrorist because I live with one.
There are some great myths about about like traits and the genders that are associated with them. Yeah.
Yes, huge, huge myths. And so I called my best friend and I said, okay, I'm ready. And that's pretty much what got me on the journey to adopting the first go round.
Well, what got you going the second go round?
I think the kids conspired against me. And so my son is one of 10 kids. And I thought, okay, great. I've adopted my son. I did what I said I was going to do. And so now I'm going to, it's going to be us, or, I'll get married and maybe have some more kids or not, whatever. And one Christmas, he started telling me I was fat and that his baby sister was in my tummy. And aside from the fact that it's rude and I'm not fat, I told him, I'm not pregnant. There's nothing going on here. And he was so insistent. And then that morphed into he wanted a baby. He wanted a baby sister. Meanwhile, I speak at adoption training classes. And after this one particular talk, my former social worker pulled me aside and she asked if I would be interested in Johannes meeting his younger brother, the one who's just underneath him. And so I thought, well, sure. As long as that birth mother, the adoptive mother rather, was sane, because I had met one of the other adoptive mothers some years back and she was little different. And the social worker said, no, you know, she's nice, and I think this will be great. And then at least the siblings could kind of come together. And so I agreed, and they invited us to the boy's fifth birthday party. And I knew that there was also another sister. So at this point, I know there are 9 children. And we get to the party, and there's a baby. And I'm like, who's this? And they said, this is the last one. And I never, ever hold other people's children. And I held her for like 4 hours, and I didn't want to let her go. Oh. And by this time, I had come around to, okay, emotionally, I'm up for one more child. And I had begun the process to adopt again. And I told them that, you know, I'm not trying to steal your baby, but if it doesn't work out, I'll take her. Okay, so that was in May. And then in July, we saw them again. Same thing. Oh, if it doesn't work out, I'll take her. And they were adamant. Oh, no, we're going to adopt her. So I went on with my life. And that was July. And October 12th, guess who came to live with me? My 10-month-old daughter, who's now 4.
Wow.
So that's how she came about. She and Johannes schemed. They schemed. They did some major scheming. And so it's great. I mean, I wouldn't change it for the world. And when I met her, I thought, you know, she should be with us.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. But you know what? Here's the thing is that, like, listening to that story, I'm just like, there is so much I have zero understanding about. I have some friends who are fostering as well, and their whole experience, like, they've been very gracious to, like, you know, share with me their experience leading up, like, all the preparation. Yes. And then, you know, for some people, it is this, like, it's suddenly it's Tuesday and you get a call,
right.
And then there are children in the house, and you have to be ready for that. And, but it's, I guess in my, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not running around reading books on fostering and adoption. I get just not in my purview. So when they began to describe just the entire foster process, all the things I'd never thought about, not only suddenly there are children in your house, it was a similar situation where it's 2 siblings out of, I think, 7 kids. And they're still working with the mother to hopefully have her children back. It's a whole process. So they're temporarily having them. But it was stuff like, you now have to have your kid in school tomorrow, right? Are school set up for this? And, like, I was just like, wow, you're doing a remarkable job.
Like, it's a lot.
Unbelievable.
It is a lot.
And for you, you have written several pieces about this sort of parenting niche that were you even aware you were going to be finding yourself in?
No.
I would really like you to kind of talk about, you've gone through this process, you've adopted your son, everything's great, and then suddenly you realize that there's a lot of stuff people are attaching to you that you didn't realize you were signing up for.
Yes. I have, my background is fiction, and so when he came along, I was still writing fiction. And I think probably what really sort of set me off in my early writing was really just like a bunch of rants were I could not find any books about women like myself who were, you know, who are college educated women who worked and made a decision for whatever reason to adopt and to do it on their own and successfully navigate the whole system, navigate the drama you get from your family looking at you sideways, like, how are you going to do that by yourself? And your friends giggling because they're like, you? Oh, okay, we'll see. I was so upset that there was just nothing there. And I'm not so much a planner, but I do like information.
Yeah.
And it just really bothered me that there was nothing. And when I tell you I have been to the end of the internet, I have.
Yeah.
And the card catalog at the library, I have. The city library, the county library, Beverly Hills library system, you know, all of the different library systems looking. And I never saw myself on the page. And that's really what got me started, because I've run into too many single women, friends of friends, who have said, oh, I heard that you adopted on your own. You know, what was the process like? And I'm repeating the same story over and over and over and dispelling myths, you know, even by women who should know better and who are so nervous and so afraid, so worried of the stigma of being a single parent. And so to my way of thinking, it is the 21st century. It shouldn't matter how families are configured. You know, your family's configured how it's configured.
Right.
And to still encounter so many women who are worried about what it's going to look like and how people will attach stigma to them. And my daughter is definitely my mini-me. My son and I favor, but if you were to see us together, you might assume, oh, he probably looks like his dad. And so you can tell clearly, you know, there had been a man somewhere, or that's the assumption.
Right.
And so it's either she got pregnant and this dude has kicked rocks, or she's now divorced and she's on her own. And here we go again with another black woman with a black boy who's got no father and, you know, shame.
Yeah. It's like, there's a tragedy association with it as opposed to the empowerment of a woman making her own decision to do this.
Yes. That's not necessarily how, I mean, definitely in some sectors in the white community, adoption is far more accepted and it's not as big of a deal.
Well, there's
but
a lot
in
of
the
books.
Black community. Yes. And there's tons of books.
We got a shit ton of books about
movies.
That.
There are movies and there are television
that's
programs
right.
that all support making such a decision. But in our community, we are still behind in that area. And so that's how I got started writing about it. Just like looking around like, okay, this is a problem. And how can I fix it? I didn't want to be an adoption advocate. It just kind of was thrust upon me. And, you know, I accepted the challenge.
Well, but it is, again, I go back to the beginning of the show where, you know, the thing that just I think is so powerful are the responses that you get from people who need to see you. You know what I mean? Like, and there's, we talk about on the show a lot, there's like, it is bizarre to think that given all the different ways we parent and all the different family setups we have, you know, that the publishing industry continues to put out only one vision of parenting or one thing we're all supposed to relate to. I mean, good Lord, you know, I am the very epitome of what, you know, every cover of these books look like. And I can't stand half the stuff in there. You know what I mean? I'm like, I am not going to do that. Right. And so like it is, we share a lot, but we're not all doing it the same way. And it is a little absurd that this assumption that we all couldn't gain insight from more voices in the community, especially in adoption. I mean, I feel like, especially in everywhere, but like you're right. There's just not an image of a woman of color adopting kids of the same color by herself. Like that.
Well, Shonda Rhimes has adopted three kids. I mean, but you know, I don't think when people think of her, that's the first thought that comes to mind.
Right.
And so, and she's also a celebrity. Yeah. So, you know, she's in a different stratosphere, but for the rest of us.
Right.
Who don't go in those circles. And lately, so many celebrities are adopting from the public foster care system, which means that the children that they're going to adopt are going to be of color. And so, you know, they get a lot of glory and glorification because, oh, look at what they've done. And it's like, well, we've been doing that forever. And yeah, we didn't get a wink and a nod. I didn't get an Oscar for that.
So. Where's your trophies?
Exactly.
Well, let's actually, I'd like to talk a little bit before we wrap up about some publications, places people can get stuff. One of the things that really struck me was, and we've talked about this. Guys, we've talked about it. The books for kids, you know, like lack of opportunity for people to see them, for kids to see themselves in books.
Yes.
One of the things that I just suddenly can never unsee is this book that you spoke about, The Heart Picked, where it is a book for kids who are adopted, and the images in the book are of people of color adopting kids of color, right? Like, do you want to talk a little bit about the book, or just like how that, I just want to make sure people know this book is out there, and there should be 50 other ones or 100 other ones.
Absolutely. Right? There absolutely should be. Yes. A friend of mine sent a link to me about the book when it came out, and I think it was featured in the Huffington Post. Mm. And I thought that was so exciting that, you know, an adoptee was able to write her, well, it's not necessarily her story, but it is to some degree, that Black woman adopted by a Black family. And I thought that was really, really cool, because those images are super important. Most of the adoption books really feature animals, unless it's a transracial adoption themed book. And even then, you know, the bear adopting the monkey can also be a transracial type story, because they're different species. So you get a lot of that, and just not enough.
I can't, I can't let go of the animal thing. Like, it's just, it's just like,
it's like, really?
It's just like almost absurd. You're like, well, we certainly have plenty of these books, but they're all animals, because heaven forbid, we just put fucking people in it.
It's just easier.
It's just easier. I don't want to make things work. People like animals.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're, you know, mostly animals, or maybe the kids are, it's for books for kids who are a little bit older, maybe my son's age or a little older. And then again, you're dealing with a transracial situation. And so it's just, once again, those of us parents of color who have adopted children of color, we are erased again, because it's like, we're not doing it. And like I said, my son is 10 and he's doing book reports now. And so he loves, you know, Harry Potter and all that drama. And we're in the bookstore and online looking for books. And I'm calling some of my friends asking, are there any like tween books with Black male characters like as the lead? And I haven't found any. So,
well, we'll get our New York Public Library recommendations person to get us a list. And we'll give her that assignment, because by the way, just another shout out to them. You can always email them, and their job is to,
or tweet at them.
Or tweet at them, and they will find these books for you. Let's wrap up talking about Modern Mia, where they've published a lot of your work.
Yeah.
And but it's such a voice for so many more voices. Can you tell us a little bit about that site? I mean, you wanted to get, I think it needs a shout out. So would you?
Yes. So the editor, Antonia Akitunde, is wonderful. She's amazing. There was a woman and her partner who adopted, and her family had been featured on Modern Mia, and she referred me to Antonia. And Antonia really embraced me and my writing, and really has given me like my start, just the platform to get the word out, I guess, for lack of a better phrase. And so she also put me in touch with Meg, who then put me in touch with you, and just so super generous and wonderful pictures and articles about Black mothers, and not just single moms, but all kind of moms, because we cover the gamut, just like all moms do.
No, we're pretty much a one note in the white community. I'm just kidding.
Everyone.
Yeah, no, it's a great site, because it's doing exactly what we're talking about. It's providing a platform for more voices in the conversation. So don't worry, everybody. We're going to link everybody up to that, along with some of the pieces that I referenced at the beginning of the show, and where you can find more of Nefertiti's writing. But thank you so much for taking the time to come on and talk about this. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so very much for having me.
And we will talk again soon. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I love forget-me-nots.
I'm Jesse.
I'm Jordan.
And we've been doing Jordan Jesse Go for almost 10 years now.
And it's not gotten any easier to describe.
So we asked our fans to do it for us.
Jordan Jesse Go is a weekly conversation with
two best pals,
two hilarious friends,
the hilarious smart kids,
talking about hilarious stuff that happens to them,
mostly really stupid stuff,
awkward anecdotes, insane tangents, heartfelt stuff.
It's like being thrown in the middle of a hilarious conversation between you and your best pals.
It's a show that makes me laugh every week, which is pretty rare and wonderful.
Might be the best thing on the internet.
One of the funniest things you will hear.
And it's the best part of my week and has kept me company for the past 7 years through all sorts of life. I love those guys.
That's Jordan Jesse Go, the comedy podcast that's been named Best of iTunes.
Every Monday on MaximumFun.org or your favorite podcasting software.
I'll hug you and kiss you and love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Ben, we've been accused of so many things over the course of making The Greatest Generation, the Star Trek podcast, that we're a little bit embarrassed to be making.
That is right, Adam, but the one accusation that will never stick is the sickening implication that our show is in the pocket of Big Rod.
As in Gene Roddenberry.
We are not affiliated with Roddenberry, and that is why we are free to subject Star Trek to zingers, twangs, rib jabs, and all different kinds of jokey insults.
That's right, Ben. The Greatest Generation is the people's Star Trek podcast, and Big Rod only wishes we were their puppet.
No puppet! No puppet.
If you want the untainted opinions of two guys who suffer pangs of shame every time they weigh in on Star Trek in this weirdly public forum, go to MaximumFun.org or search for The Greatest Generation in your podcatcher.
That was great.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I know. I just want to go to a bar with her.
She's doing a great job.
She's doing a fucking great job,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. I totally got chills when she was talking about how her son, like, basically got her brain ready for the fact that she wanted to have another child.
That's so good.
Yeah, that was
it's
cool.
So good.
Really cool.
Well, she's amazing. We're going to link everybody up to the pieces, as well as the websites we talked about today. It's good, guys. It's all good to talk about this stuff. Speaking of things that are good to talk about, let's listen to a mom have a breakdown and then talk about it.
Hi, this is a rant. I'm calling just to tell you that I have for like the past 6 months tried to open my house door with my car door clicker, and I'm so tired of doing it. It was kind of funny and quirky the first couple times, and now I just feel like I have an impaired brain that is never going to get better. When is my brain going to get better? Thank you. You're doing a good job. Bye.
Yeah.
So are you.
Yeah, you're doing such a good job. There have been so many similar moments, like things like this that have happened to me recently where like Jesse will be like, well, did you get the, or did you, what about the, and I'll just look at him and be like, I shouldn't need to explain this to you right now. Like, you obviously know that I'm operating with like pretty much like half of a working brain.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but that's, you would think, here's the thing. We would all think as rational people or people who were once rational that you lose it a little at the beginning, but then you figure out how to balance it.
Right. Doesn't always
I'm not
happen.
Sure that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Because, like, again, I'm just
doesn't
sticking my
happen.
Hand in the water fountain.
Sure.
You would think after the first time I would learn that's not a thing you do. That's like almost how you teach a dog to stop doing something.
Yeah,
keep
I don't
it.
Think it comes back.
No, it like, doesn't.
I mean, it might get a little better in some ways.
Maybe
but like,
you get really good at something else.
Yeah.
But this other thing is not coming back.
No, that's like damaged.
Damaged
stuff.
Damaged stuff. Well, like, but like you said, that's the same thing where I'm like, you recently sent me something going, hey, did you see this? And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I legitimately have no memory of this.
Wow.
And this is an important thing you sent me.
Yeah.
I have no memory.
And the only reason I was sending that to you was because Jesse asked me about it.
Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. We barely function. By the way, when you get the book, it's just full of blank pages. But listen, caller. Listen, mom.
We forgot to write the book, you guys.
Yeah. You are doing an amazing job.
Yeah, you are.
And here's the fun thing. Maybe one day, your door's just going to open when you do that. You're training the door to open with the key fob. Yeah. From your car.
Or maybe this is like your body's way of telling you that you want one of those like keypad doorknobs where you can just like press a code and
or
open
like
it.
Link it up to your phone.
And like your body's right.
Yeah.
Maybe
your
you
body's
should
right.
just do that.
I like imagining linking it up to your phone and then just constantly yelling at your door.
Yeah.
Siri, open the door. Open it. Or whatever you call it. I changed my Siri to an Australian male voice.
Wait, isn't there an open sesame? Could you yell open sesame?
Open sesame! Open fucking house! And you fucking get out of my hands are full of garbage! Because I have children! Like, there's literally garbage just in my hands! Just wrappers!
Yeah.
And there's a purse!
Oh, yeah.
And I may be holding a baby!
And kid stuff.
Something's eaten!
Yeah.
And I know because my child ate it, somewhere on me chocolate chips are being smeared from his healthy granola bar that he lives on.
Yeah.
Look, you're remarkable.
Yeah, you're great.
And at least you made it home.
Yeah, true.
You're not like,
and you have your keys.
You have
your
keys.
You didn't lose your keys. You're holding on to your keys in your hand.
You are winning.
Yeah,
at parenting.
Yep.
Good job.
Really good job.
You're getting really good at this, Teresa.
Yes.
What did we learn today? One, we're monsters.
Yeah,
that's a good takeaway.
Yep.
Let's just embrace it.
Yep.
Sometimes being a good parent makes us a monster. Sometimes being selfish about your needs makes us a monster. And sometimes we should just fucking drink all the fucking lemonade and teach our kids who the real monster is.
Yeah.
Right? So there's that. We also learned that, guys, we need more voices in the parenting memoir literary community. I mean, like, well, the voices are there. We need them published.
Yeah.
People are writing these things. No one's publishing them. Also, I think it's just good to remember that we should never assume what somebody's experience is when you see them out.
Yep.
Right? Like, the only assumption we should have is that person's wearing pants and they're out in public. They're doing a fucking great job.
Yeah. I like the assumption that whoever they are, they're doing a good job.
Yeah. The rest of it. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter.
And maybe, and you know, it might matter, but it might matter in a way that is hurtful. Like one way or the other, whichever way you're assuming, can be hurtful.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to do that.
Instead, assume they're doing a good job
and
they're not getting the same sleep that you're getting.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, we can dumb down our assumptions to be way less harmless, right? Or that's not the words I'm looking for. These are not the words you're looking for. Let's just assume we're all doing a good job.
Yes.
Be done with it. Everybody, you're doing remarkable.
Yeah, you are.
You
guys are so great.
I mean,
you guys are amazing.
It's a lot.
It's so much. Day after day.
And we still have to have flour in our house.
I know. You can't not buy flour.
You can't. Yeah.
And a 5-pound bag makes a lot more sense to have than like one of those rinky-dink
little
you're just going to need to buy more.
Who needs a pound of flour?
No.
Because at some point in time, even if you don't cook, you are probably doing a fucking science experiment.
Yeah, and you have 5 kids.
Yeah.
So you need a lot of flour.
So much Play-Doh to be made at home.
Yeah.
So you're all remarkable.
Yeah, you guys are great.
Teresa.
Yes.
You're doing a really good job.
Thanks,
no
babies.
Baby today. That's a big fucking deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
And
thank
you're
you.
Doing a great job.
Thank you so much. You're doing a really amazing job with everything you're doing. And I'm so lucky to be friends with you.
I am lucky too. Guys, we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
I got to low down mama blues. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blue, low down mama blue. Got to low down mama blue, got to low down mama blue. You know that right.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, Lindsay Pavlis, our engineer, our husbands Stefan Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all these horrible things, and of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, visit MaximumFun.org and click on Donate.
Do you have a genius or fail moment you'd like to share on the show? Then leave us a message at 206-350-9485. Full-on rage-induced rants are also welcome.
Well, Daddy, baby,
fussing by, got low down mama blues. Oh, said daddy, baby, fussing by, got low down mama blues.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.